The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
It's Wednesday, June, May.
You hit him with that in the NWO before he even got started. June 18th.
May 18th. I was about to say, let's just do it again. Let's keep it going. This is May 18th, 2022. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host, Mr. 100 from Cape Championship Wrestling. With me, of course, the original GM of Cape Championship Wrestling and the original host of PW, Double H.
Hey, hey, hey.
So, no beating around the George Bush this week. We're going to jump right into our thoughts and whatnot. Actually, really quick, one thing.
I thought for sure you were going to say in prayers.
This is not that show. This is not that show. You got to turn
plug the other one where you already talked about
it. You got to tune into No Turning Back with Shannon Young. That's on Podzilla right now.
That's right.
Before we get into anything, before we even get to the things we hate in wrestling, I just want your opinion. Mm-hmm. Did you see the spot between Darby Allin and Jeff Hardy
onto the chairs
during the Owen Hart cup,
yeah,
in front of Owen's wife Martha, and like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not even saying that this is my opinion, but I have read a couple of people who have said that maybe it was a little disrespectful to do something like that during the Owen Hart cup in front of his wife, for a match that really has no heat, and for two people who aren't feuding to have a ladder match where they're trying to kill each other, it didn't make a lot of sense. What do you think about that? I'm just curious.
I mean, legitimately, this is the first I've considered that. Off the top of my head, or that's not the right way to put it, but I didn't watch the whole show, and I've only seen like bits and pieces of that match. So yeah. First of all, I didn't know that his wife was there. And I also kind of forgot this was part of that tournament. I knew the match happened. I saw the spot in GIFs, and so I was like, okay, ugh. I gotta go look up the actual thing. And I watched the match. It was actually earlier today, so without any audio. So I wasn't able to listen to what was going on, any commentary or anything. Even then, I only got to see like 3 to 4 minutes of it. But that was one of the spots, was Hardy doing the swan. No, it was it's Darby Allin doing the swanton, isn't it? Yeah. Arby's doing the swan.
Darby Allin. Jesus.
Onto the chairs outside. In that context, I can see like, ooh, that's a little edgy. That's a little bit much. But
I don't think they meant it that way, obviously.
No. And I also think that like it definitely splits the difference between that or like it wasn't like they did a spot onto the turnbuckle, like,
right.
You start doing buckle bombs on a guy and talking about how he might have a broken neck, like that's
too much.
Then we have a problem. That's too much.
With that said, I think that spot was one of the dumbest spots I've ever seen in wrestling. I don't know why Darby Allin.
Pretty dangerous.
I don't know why he hates himself. It was unnecessary. And like, sure, it got a big pop from the crowd, but this isn't one of the things I hate in wrestling this week, but I've always had a problem with AEW is a little different because it's the second biggest wrestling show in the United States. You've got a big audience, but like, you don't have to do those things, Darby. Like, everyone already likes you. It's like when you see these indie wrestlers and I'm an indie wrestler, so I can kind of talk about this. I've never done anything like this. When you've got an indie wrestler that, you know, jumps off of a scaffold and through a table and through a ladder, almost breaks his neck in front of 30 people. It seems kind of pointless. It seems dangerous. And I get you're trying to get over, but there are better ways to get over than trying to kill yourself in front of 20 people. I don't know. That's a hot take, I know, but that's always bothered me.
It's a spot that, and speaking of somebody who has not wrestled but has watched a lot of this, like most of us do, this is our commentary, right? That's the level of involvement we have. Maybe these guys knew better. Maybe they just knew they could take it. They seemed to get up and walk away just fine. But it seems like laying across a bunch of folding chairs is not going to provide the proper like support for that kind of, you know, you do that in the ring, you do it out of the ring onto like a ladder. At least the ladder has like a long base. Like you can distribute your weight a little more. And that's what it looked like in the aftermath, was that he hit Jeff Hardy and that everything collapsed.
Yeah.
And it looked cool. Like you said, I mean, it looked awesome. Yeah. It got a nice little reaction from the crowd, but even then, I have heard just like that little bit of audio when that happens. It didn't seem like it was a, oh man, that was so cool. It seemed like a, oh my God, is
he
okay?
Alive? Yeah. It definitely
that's what we're worried about.
It didn't get the same reaction that something like a Ukraine kid versus Norman Meklikoff would get.
Well, no, because that didn't get a reaction at all.
Right. Well, there was one guy.
The void.
There was one guy.
Oh yeah, you suck.
So anyway, let's get into the things we hate in wrestling this week. And as you know, I'll preface this as I always do, over on the Nerdiest Part of the Ring, which is a great, great podcast that our friends Asa and Dalton host, former cast members of PW, still cast of PZ85, obviously. They talk about the things that they love in wrestling this week and something uplifting and inspiring. Hunter and I take the opposite approach and we talk about the things that we hate in wrestling this week. And this week, I saved it because I couldn't believe it myself. Do you know who Alistair Overeem is?
Boy, that name sounds familiar. That's got to be a UFC guy,
UFC
right?
guy, UFC fighter. Okay. One of the best ever. He's wrestling, you know, our old friend Adam Scherer.
The Titan?
The Titan Joker.
The Control Your Narrative Titan?
The Control Your Narrative Nimrod. he is wrestling him at a show upcoming. At an upcoming show.
Sure he is.
Why did I say that? At a show upcoming, perchance, they will...
Easy there, Yoda.
Well, he was on...
Kiruni, maybe?
He was on the MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani, and when talking about wrestling, this is his quote. Not the full quote, but this is his quote about wrestling.
This is Overeem.
This is Alistair Overeem.
Okay.
Because Ariel Helwani, you know, I know he does MMA stuff, but I think he has a pretty healthy respect for wrestling. He's kind of worked around it before. But Alistair Overeem, great UFC fighter, who's wrestling Adam Scherer, the former Braun Strowman, at an event.
Yeah.
Instead of pro wrestling, quote, "It's fake, it's lame, it's stupid, it's gay. It doesn't make any sense."
Ooh.
Look here, motherfucker.
All right, well,
yeah.
Get those tickets to see Alistair. Come on, man. This is how he promoted the show? Don't get me wrong. I understand that there is... there are some people who, and this kind of blows my mind, who still know Ric Flair as the professional wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, when we had songs in the past couple of years released called Ric Flair Drip.
Yes.
Like, he's still the representative for pro wrestling for a lot of people.
Right.
And the Ric Flair version of Heat is, I'm going to say, everything that will piss you off
right.
to get you to come buy a ticket to see me. The difference is, Ric Flair was a professional wrestler.
He was working the crowd.
Who was then going to go on and probably lose those matches.
Yeah.
Or win by some, you know, distraction or some kind of... Yeah, exactly. What?
I don't know if that's what this is. Like, there's a couple of MMA people that really do have a respect for wrestling and have succeeded at it. Dan Severn, we worked with him at CCW a couple times, and he was always a pleasure.
Ken Shamrock
is absolutely. Brock Lesnar, you know, I know he was wrestling first, then UFC and came back. But
correct me if I'm wrong. Steve Blackman was UFC, or he was like a non-professional wrestling fighter of some sort first, right?
I know he was a legit badass. I don't know if he ever did fight, but like that's the rumor.
I'm gonna find out. I'm curious now.
But I don't know what I hate more about this is the fact that this is how he's trying to put over the match, or that in the year of our Lord, the Ukraine kid, 2022, people are still saying that's gay as a derogatory term. Like, come on, dude. You got more fucking sense than that. That's the well you have to go to is that's gay. Oh my God. That's sad is what that is.
So, as a quick aside, because I had to know, Steve Blackman was not an MMA fighter. He was a competitive bodybuilder and a weightlifter. He slimmed down a lot to actually wrestle before that. He was doing a lot of the bulking up type stuff. But he does know, like, martial arts.
He does, legit.
He's big on the Eskrima stuff with the sticks. Yeah. He does Taekwondo, apparently, or did.
He really was funny, the world's most dangerous. What was Steve Blackman's nickname? The Lethal Weapon.
The Lethal Weapon.
He was the Lethal Weapon.
If you, If you go to his Wikipedia page, though, it is very funny. The very first few things that it lists him as is an American martial arts instructor. So that's number one, because that's kind of what he's doing now.
Yeah.
A bail bondsman, yes, and a former professional wrestler.
He does bail bondsman still. I saw a commercial he did a couple years ago for it. It was pretty intense. Actually, I just saw him over the weekend. He did a, I don't know if he did a convention with Rikishi and I want to say the Hardy Boys, but I may be wrong. And he looked good, man. Other than he's got some gray in his beard, but dude, he looks the exact same and he's just cut. A real lack of love for Steve Blackman.
Seriously, people seem to have forgotten him, which is a real shame.
Yeah.
As best I can tell, it's still going. It's called Blackman MMA, and he started way back in 2003. So
I'd go to that. Yeah. I would not go to that school because they would beat me up. But but point is,
I would like to support that school verbally by saying it's good.
It's
I hope.
Good.
And that's,
I can't imagine it's not good, but fucking Alistair Overeem, like that's a lot of MMA guys have that mentality that they're so threatened by professional wrestling that they hate it exists. How many times have you seen a real quote unquote fighter go after wrestling because it's fake and it's bullshit? As someone again that's been in the ring and has been thrown around and beat up, it's scripted, of course. Obviously, anyone that still uses wrestling as fake as like a burn against a wrestling fan at this point, man, you're like 20 years too late. But that's, it hurts and it takes a lot of skill to do it. So a lot of the times when these MMA guys come into wrestling and try it out and realize how hard it is, they have a whole new respect for it. So I'm hoping this Alistair Overeem gets the same treatment. I hope he has a healthier respect for it, and especially if he ever plans on controlling his narrative. You know?
Well, yeah, how's he supposed to do that if Braun Strowman is in there? I'm sorry, Adam Scheer is in there throwing him around controlling his narrative.
Yeah, well,
you can only have one narrative be controlled.
Alistair doesn't understand that the fight isn't with Adam Scheer.
It's with himself.
That's the crazy thing.
As long as he... I'm trying not to die on the air. As long as he doesn't get in there and start throwing, you know, super kicks and launches, then...
And no Canadian Destroyers. Then there's
Canadian Destroyers. I knew there was another one.
There's no narrative at that point. Anyway, that's...
What's the narrative?
That's what I hate this week is Alistair Overeem and that mentality of wrestling is fake. And also that in the year of our Lord, the Ukraine kid, Mr. MAGA, you're using gay as a derogatory term. Oh my God, grow up. Anyway.
I have a really stupid one this week that I actually was just reminded of like minutes ago because I remembered there were several different things I wanted to talk about here, but I didn't know what would really fit. This one, because it doesn't really like make me angry, I think is probably the way to go. I hate it, but like, you know, it's in an old school commentary, like, will you stop kind of way. Sonya Deville was in a match on Raw. So she had a match against Alexa Bliss last week when Bliss came back after her marriage and everything. And Sonya lost in seconds. Yeah. And I kind of hated that too because it was real stupid. They've been building Sonya up as this big, you know, challenger, and now she just kind of sucks for some reason. I don't know. They had another match on Raw. Alexa won again. And then Sonya slapped an official after the match. Now, Shannon, I don't know if you know, but that's against the rules.
That's against the rules. Was she fined?
She was fined, and I don't remember what the number was, but she was fined. And I gotta tell you, I really have always hated this person has been fined for their actions thing. And mainly, it's not just because it's stupid, because it could be not stupid. That could be a real thing that could be entertaining and interesting if you incorporated it into an angle properly. That could have been how we got to, like, sad Baron Corbin, you know? That could have been how we got to the sad... Like, he got himself fined to death and all that.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. Right. Nothing comes of it. It gets put up on the website. It gets passed around the dirt sheets as like part of an angle. And then it never comes back on TV. They might briefly mention, you know, you were fined last week in a promo. You know, how do you feel about that? And they will do nothing with it. Yeah. What is the point? It is wasted breath and wasted air to ever get into this. And it's such a shame because, again, it could be something interesting and it never gets used properly.
I feel like it's there to add some spice to the story, but yeah, they don't do anything with it. So what's the point? The only time I remember there was a fine, and I think it was legit. I never knew if this was real or not. And that's actually, now that you say that, this is the only time I could ever remember hearing this person was fined for what they did, and I didn't know if it was real. It was Shawn Michaels and Triple H, where they were doing the DX thing, and they were they were doing something. It was so disrespectful. Shawn Michaels mentioned that WWF fined them like $25,000 for what they did on TV, and like I always thought that was real because I remember DX doing that shit on TV back then. That was really risque, so I could see WWF being like, "No, no." And plus, Shawn just basically did whatever he wanted at the time, so he ate that fine, maybe.
It's not my... See, I'm sitting here now and I'm trying to parse out some ways to use this. That whole, like, one wrestler is kind of indentured to another thing. You said Shawn Michaels, and it reminded me when he was... And I can't remember what led up to it. You remember when he was indentured to JBL? Like, he had to do whatever JBL said because he needed the money or some kind of thing? That's not my favorite angle, but, like, off the top of my head, an interesting way to use the fine thing. New wrestler comes up, gets started, doing well for a couple of weeks, but then does something like off the cuff, like maybe loses a match in a way that they are frustrated about or whatever. They get into an official's face and they hit them. They get out of their, you know, out of their head for a second. They do something they shouldn't have. They get fined for it. And this guy just comes out and says, "I don't have that kind of money. I can't do that." Somebody like a Cameron Grimes comes along and goes, "I do.
Yeah, I'll pay you.
Just, you know, do me a favor for a while. I'll take care of that. Yeah. Just do me a couple favors." Immediately, to me, 1,000 times more interesting than she was fined for hitting an official. Well, what's going to happen because of it? She's going to pay her fine. Okay.
But she better not. She better not do it again. If she does it again, they're going to double it.
We're going to fine her again.
Oh my God.
I hate that. How do you put this? Like, the overarching idea of this is I hate wasted potential.
Right.
On like what could be something cool and ends up being a waste of breath. That's what I hate this week.
And trying to blur the line between scripted and unscripted, but in a way that doesn't
matter. You know, we don't have time for that. It's almost 9 o'clock already.
let me hit you with that Legion of Doom. speaking of blurring the line between scripted and unscripted, let's get into our lead story. So
our top story,
we're beating an Ace and Dalton to the punch, bastards. I got on the internet recently. And I went to 411 Wrestling, which is kind of my... Mm-hmm. It's where I go to check major wrestling news. And then I'll hit Reddit, you know, stuff like that. But I saw a thing up talking about... you probably heard about this, ladies and gentlemen. Sasha Banks and Naomi walked out on Monday Night Raw. Actually, even before the show. I think like 5 minutes before the show or during the show or something like that.
So WWE's press release, because they issued a press release.
Oh, I know. I want to read that. Yeah.
The official deal as best I... Oh, do you have it pulled up?
I have it pulled up.
Well, so, I'm going to let you read it. I don't have it pulled up.
We'll just read. This is what... All right, so the story happened, and within hours, WWE legitimately put out a press release. Here's what we knew beforehand. Sasha Banks and Naomi walked out on Raw. That was what we knew. And they had to change the main event from a six-pack challenge, which would have been Naomi and Sasha Banks were the tag champions, plus, I think, Doudrop.
Nikki.
And Nikki Ash. Ugh.
Yep.
And then I think it was...
Asuka
and Becky Lynch
was in there.
Big Time Bex, I think.
Yeah.
So they had to change it around. And one, no matter what happens, no matter what the official story is, Doudrop and Nikki Ash got dropped from the main event. And that sucks for them.
Right.
That sucks for them that they lost that. But here.
Yes, it does.
Everyone's talking about it. What's going on? What's happening? I was in the dark. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then WWE put out a press release. This was WWE's, and then we'll talk about how they reacted on the show, because I didn't know much of this. I want to talk to you about how they reacted during the show, but this is the press release that they put out. It says, when Sasha Banks and Naomi arrived at the arena this afternoon, they were informed of their participation in the main event of tonight's Monday Night Raw. During the broadcast, they walked into WWE Head of Talent Relations John Laurinaitis' office with their suitcases in hand, placed their tag team championship belts on his desk, and walked out. They claimed they weren't respected enough as tag team champions, and even though they had 8 hours to rehearse and construct their match, they claimed they were uncomfortable in the ring with two of their opponents, even though they'd had matches with those individuals in the past with no consequence. Monday Night Raw is a scripted live TV show whose characters are expected to perform the requirements of their contract. We regret we were unable to deliver as advertised tonight's main event. All right, so really quick, are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? This is how they respond to that?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
For one, the whole thing weirdly blends. Well, okay, it doesn't blur the line.
No.
This 100% real reads like a real deal, except for one thing that bothers me, and that's the fact that they use their character names.
Yeah,
because a lot of times when they're going to be serious about something and just fully get into it,
they
use their real names. But to be fair, they also only use their real names more often when they are legitimately like injured or dead, or if they quit the company. Basically, well, really, if they're probably not coming back.
Which I have to imagine they're not coming back, like, in my opinion.
And
especially the way that WWE has buried them almost immediately. Like, I don't understand why they had to put this press release out, other than being so bitter that they walked out on them. Because it's not like they haven't changed main events before. Just a couple, I mean, I know, yes, this was during the show, obviously, but just a couple weeks ago.
Sometimes this happened during the show, too. Right. I mean, that's not out of the question.
No, they change stuff around all the time. Some of these shows aren't even written until during the show, because they change so much shit around.
Were approved by Vince McMahon.
So the fact that they not only put out this press release, absolutely burying Sasha and Naomi, talking about, you know, how they weren't respected, they had 8 hours to rehearse, and they claimed they're uncomfortable, etc., etc. Like, one, they buried them in this press release. They did even worse on Raw. We'll talk about that in a second, too. But I also don't understand why on your... And I hate the shoot work aspects of wrestling. I hate when you have something you're presenting as, well, this is a real story, but you don't say it's a real story. You know what I mean? You don't say this is a story. Right. That's what the fuck they did in WCW during the Russo era, and it was terrible.
Yes.
So why on your website do you put up this statement, which could have just said they weren't respected as tag team champions and they walked out? Why did you have to say they had 8 hours to rehearse? And this is a scripted live TV show whose characters are expected to perform the requirements of the contract.
Because they're trying to save face.
They're trying to save face. And they're making Sasha and Naomi look bad. They're burying the shit out of them. And then on Raw, I don't know if it's even worse, but I didn't realize this. On Raw, Corey Graves flat out said that Sasha and Naomi walked out unprofessionally. He said that. And to his credit, that was not his line. In fact, someone called that out on Twitter.
Yeah, and Carmella, I think, was the one who responded and said, imagine living in a world where you think he still gets to say whatever he wants to. Like, he did his job.
He
did what he was told to say.
Which had to suck for him. Like, I'm sure that was an awful position to be in. And I even if Sasha and Naomi were unprofessional walking out, and I have a thing on that, and I'll say it in a second, but how disrespectful and shitty of WWE to handle it the way that they did.
Yeah, the whole situation is really just kind of bizarrely handled on all angles. And I don't mean on Sasha and Naomi's, other than the fact that we haven't heard from them. And I'm really wondering what that means. Like, at this point, we're on pins and needles trying to wait and see what they're going to say.
Right.
Because neither one of them has spoken.
Right.
And really, I mean, the whole wrestling community is kind of, I don't want to say divided down the middle, because I don't think it's even. But there are decidedly people on one side of this going, if that's really what they did and that's really the way they handled it, that's fucked up. And they should have done it some other way. And I'm in no position to say they should or they shouldn't have. Some of those people, none of those people work for WWE. They know better than to comment on it like that right now. There are also some people on the side of that you remember Ariane Andrews, Cameron. She was Cameron with Naomi.
Yeah,
who is saying now specifically she thinks that if this is really what all went down and that's the way it happened, that Naomi is kind of, I don't think she used the word brainwashed, but like she's being led to, you know, follow others like Sasha Banks, somebody who's a little further up the card.
The food chain.
To kind of follow her lead, and that she was kind of probably coerced into going along with this, like some kind of big walkout, and now it's not going to work out for them. At the same time, I mean, there's obviously a whole lot of other people going, you know, stand up for what you, as Dax Harwood. I can never remember
Dax Harwood,
the name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's the one who specifically tweeted, like, always stand up for what you believe in. Always, always, always.
With a picture
of
them.
And it's a picture
together.
Of him and Sasha Banks. Yeah. You know, there are a lot of people who are basically just saying, like, yep, I have been in kind of this same position before, and I've never taken that far, but I get why they would do it that way, and I get why they would be upset. One thing that really confuses me, too, that I'm kind of upset about, I'm worried about, I guess, for lack of a better term. You mentioned that about Nikki and Doudrop. I can't call her that.
Piper Niven.
Piper Niven is such a great name. Why would you not continue? Anyway.
Doudrop, because she's shaped like a dewdrop.
Oh, boy. That's the rumor, as we say, that they, the ones that they were uncomfortable working with are the two of them, that it had nothing to do with Asuka and with Becky Lynch. But at the same time, the people that were kind of defending them were saying they've worked with those people a million times before, and they've never been concerned about working with them before. Nobody has any idea where that's coming from.
Right.
We don't know where they're getting this, like, well, they were uncomfortable. It feels like another thing of, like, let's sow the seeds of disposition.
Right. Yes, exactly. It's that McDonald's with the woman with the coffee cup. Let's
it's her fault, clearly. She's an idiot.
She's an idiot. From everything that I've read is that the original plan was that Sasha and Naomi were going to... Basically, Naomi was going to win. She was going to feud with Bianca Belair. Sasha was going to feud with Ronda Rousey. And they were both going to lose their respective matches. And they didn't want to do that. They wanted to work a tag team angle with Piper Niven and Nikki Ash. Yeah. And when they were told no, they just kind of said, okay, you know, understandably frustrated that we're tag team champions. Why are we losing singles matches, you know, against, you know, we're fodder, basically.
Right.
And I get that.
Yeah.
Here's the weird part of me, because I'm kind of torn on this, and I hate to say this, but, like, wrestlers, the stupid bullshit reason that they're independent contractors, we all know it's wrong. If you were an independent contractor, you would be able to work wherever you wanted to. That's the opposite of what WWE does.
It's, like, AEW's people are pretty much independent contractors. They're occasionally told, hey, we need you for another date, but they at least have that option.
Right. But with WWE, it's very strict. You can't work anywhere else.
Yes.
But also in that sense is that the wrestlers are being paid. They're being paid to perform the act that they are given. So Sasha and Naomi saying, we don't like the way we're being treated as tag champions, we're leaving, is also kind of shitty, because you are a character on a show that they are paying you for. What right do you have to say, no, I don't want to do the script you are giving me that you paid me for? So I'm torn on that, because, like, I truly believe that if you are being paid by someone and you agreed to work for them, and the agreement is that you are a wrestler, here is your script, here is what we want you to do because we pay you and we're your boss, you really can't say, well, I don't want to do that. I want to win. I want to do this. Like, that's not really how it works.
I mean, you can, but let's be clear. You can do that if you're comfortable with then severing that tie and not expecting a lot of sympathy on it. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think they've been booked well.
No,
I don't
think
that Sasha and Naomi as the women's tag team champions have been booked well.
Right.
And I don't think many people would argue that they have been. But how quickly we forget that this is not the first time this has happened.
Nope.
Toni Storm walked out of WWE because she didn't like the way that she was being booked.
Stone Cold did years ago.
I was going to say one of the most infamous versions of that. Stone Cold Steve Austin did not want to lose to Brock Lesnar. And to be fair, he had a lot of really good reasons. His main one being, this is a money match. Don't put us out there on TV and have me lose to him out of nowhere. Let's build it up and then do it at a pay-per-view. But again, even the great Stone Cold was not in a position to start dictating what he was going to... I mean... It's kind of hypocritical to be like, no, they should get more respect and they should have had their say in this. And then also be the same people who in the same breath will turn around and go, you know, what really brought WCW and Impact in a lot of ways, TNA anyway, down was guys like Hulk Hogan having creative control.
Yeah.
That's the same thing, my brother in Christ. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
You can't have both of those things meshed together that well.
Wrestling is such a weird, business because it's fake, but it's not fake. And I'm sorry, it's scripted, but it's not scripted. You are a character on a TV show. Her real name's not Sasha Banks, and she doesn't really fight for those
Mercedes
titles.
Mercedes Renato.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm
not really into the hot takes right now of people being like, well, this is what you get when you have a famous cousin like Snoop Dogg, or this is what you get when you went and got on The Mandalorian and now you think you're a big Hollywood hotshot.
Yeah.
Because, of course, there was also that story of her and Bayley, like, and I don't remember, I don't think any of this was ever like
confirmed,
vindicated or ever proven to be the case, of them like laying on the floor like babies, like just like frustrated at the way they were being booked. But I could definitely see them being frustrated because they were also not booked well as tag team champions.
See, that's the thing that gets me is like, if it were, I don't want to say real sport, that's insulting to wrestling. If it was a legit combat sport, I don't know how you want to put it. The contract dispute would be over money. It would be, I'm a good fighter, I'm a better fighter than you're paying me. And they could walk out on that contract. It's so weird for wrestling, though, because it's not Sasha Banks is the best fighter in this league and she deserves more.
Right.
It's Sasha Banks is a character on this TV show that we are producing, and she wants to be a bigger character on the TV show. You know what I mean?
It is far more analogous to, again, somebody with a movie or a TV role, like a television, you know, procedural show or a movie role where they go, hey, I don't like the way this is written. We need to talk about changing it, or I'm not going to do it. You need to get somebody else to do it. The difference is, you. I think the history of fake, you know, Diesel and fake Razor Ramon has proven you don't get to just bring in another person to play Sasha Banks on TV, and then it's all going to be fine. Well, doesn't work that way.
Wrestling's weird because these guys are their characters, but they are their characters. Right. People to see Sasha Banks in their business, they probably don't say, "Hey, Mercedes." They say, "Hey, Sasha." It's such a strange. And I swear, real quick, before anyone jumps down my throat about this, I'm not saying that I agree with the fact that, they need to do what they're told. I don't agree with that. I think that if they're passionate and they see this is not going right, they absolutely have the right to speak up, and they have the right to walk out if they're not happy with it. But it's just a strange, strange business we work in.
I do think there's something that hasn't been discussed a lot. And you said you haven't watched any of the Evil documentary, right?
Not yet.
The WWE
Not
Evil
yet.
Show.
No.
So I mentioned it, I think, last week. And one of the episodes is dedicated to Sasha Banks, which I thought was kind of interesting. I think she's the only female that gets highlighted in that first season. Gets
Stephanie.
A whole episode dedicated to her. Oh, that's right. That's right. Stephanie didn't get one too. I forgot about that. But okay, let me rephrase. Primarily in-ring combatant.
Right.
You know, Stephanie's run as women's champion gets addressed, but even that was in and of itself a joke. She was only ever winning matches because people were...
It was character work,
Sasha is mostly focused on her big heel run in NXT when she made Izzy cry and the whole feud with Bayley and all that. But they actually do take some time to mention, you know, a few years ago, and I think it was just a couple of years ago, Sasha disappeared for like 8 months off of TV. And she herself says, you know, I went in and I talked to the upper brass. I don't know that she ever says Vince McMahon specifically, but she went and talked to people and she was ready to quit. And she was right then and there requesting her release, did not want to wrestle anymore, didn't want to go anywhere else to wrestle, just wanted to be done. She was burned out. She hated everything that she was doing. She could not get excited about going out to wrestle a match, and she wanted to leave. And it was Vince McMahon who talked her into staying, that he was the one who said, no, I'm not going to grant your release. He actually denied the request. Without it ever kind of leaking, you know, the same way the Mustafa Ali thing went there for a while.
Yeah.
But he denied it right then and there in the office. She said, I want out. He said, not a chance. And it was because, according to her in that interview, he wanted to work with her. He wanted to get her back to where she wanted to be, to doing something that she wanted to do. That to me, and again, this is a WWE documentary, so it's a little one-sided, but it's also Sasha Banks telling the story herself. If that's true, I think that adds a lot of context to this and paints it in a little bit of a different light, because part of the story that's been going on about this is that Sasha herself went to Vince McMahon, talked to him about all these discussions about them not like liking their story and where they were going and what they were doing, and that neither one of them was willing to back down. That it was Vince saying, no, this is what we're going to do, and her saying, no, we need to do something else. And that's when they made the decision to get the suitcases, get the belts, put them on Johnny Ace, because I was thinking Laurinaitis and Ace, on Johnny Ace's desk and take off.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, I'm putting that out there because it's one of those things where it's like, I've connected the two dots, I don't know what they mean, but I've connected them and they mean something. That feels very important to me. That feels like a critical context for the story. Sasha sounds like it may not be out of the question that she's gotten her way in the past, or that, you know, Vince has kind of stepped in and saved her from herself, and now this time he's going, no, I'm trying to save you from yourself in another way. We're going to do this. I know you don't like it. I hear what you're saying. We have a plan. And again, I may be giving them way, way, way too much credit, but I think it's important because right now it's very... It reminds me of the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard thing. Johnny Depp is the hero, right?
Yeah.
Like he has done nothing wrong. He's a sweet little meow meow, and Amber Heard deserves to go directly.
She's
to
a
hell.
Demon bitch.
And it's like, no, we talked about this
After Dark.
What was that? It was an AD. It had to have been an AD. Where it's like, you know, they're both not great people.
Right.
They both have their problems. They both have done some wrong things. It's just that he's getting a little vindication because, you know, she is the one who kind of spurred this whole thing on. I have a really bad feeling, and I fully admit up front, I could be wrong, that this is going to go that same way. That once the truth of all of what happened on this is going to come out and come to light, that there's going to be some vindication on, hey, nobody really handled this well.
Yeah, they
shouldn't have put out the press release, and they shouldn't have buried them the way they did. But you go back to that example with Stone Cold. Remember, they did that too. The Rock came out for the promo. Stone Cold took his ball and went home.
Yep.
That was the big get the F out thing. He used that against him. And they buried Stone Cold. They made him look stupid.
Yes, it
did. On TV. It was only a little while later when he agreed, kind of the same way Sasha Banks did, to come back and work with Eddie Guerrero and kind of get his smile back, to use an old Shawn Michaels, you know, analogy, that everything kind of went back to normal. So that's why I think, yeah, maybe they're done now. They may come back down the line, but I really, really, like, I need all the whole picture. I need all the puzzle pieces to be revealed here, because I suspect the picture is going to be very different than what a lot of people are thinking it looks like right now.
I absolutely agree with that. There's definitely more to this than they've said. And, you know, my fear is that when Stone Cold did it, like you said, Stone Cold was the biggest star in wrestling. He sure was. He was the biggest star since Hulk Hogan.
Absolutely.
Sasha Banks is not that. Sasha Banks is a big star, and she's probably my favorite female in wrestling. I mean, my God, she did the Sailor Moon outfit at Royal Rumble. It stole my heart. I've always talked about how much I love Sailor Boss, but for her to do this, I mean, it's a ballsy move. It's a big stand. Yes. And I don't think she's going to get the same forgiveness that Stone Cold got, especially if this is the second time she's done it. So I could very much see them just putting her on the sideline for the remainder of her contract. And or maybe even letting her go. They might let her go. She'll definitely end up in AEW. Naomi, I think, will come back. I think she will stay with WWE. I think they will mend the bridge. But I don't know about Sasha. And on the one hand, I am both proud of her and Naomi for standing up for what they believe in and saying, no, this is bad. Yeah. And at on the other hand, I'm very much like, but man, when you tell somebody, yes, I'll sign the contract, you'll pay me, and I'll do what you tell me to do because this is a story that you wrote, and then you go, no, I don't want to do that, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth, but I get it. Like, I'm so torn on it, because on one hand I get it, on the other hand I don't.
I'm perfectly fine with then saying, then, you know, you did what you should have done. Stand up for yourself and walk out if it comes down to that. But please don't then expect like a hero's welcome. Don't expect like a big parade in your honor for doing that, because I mean, yeah, I get us a lot of people saying like no one ever does this and they should be, you know, heralded for that. I don't know, should they? Like you said, I mean, that was part of the job. You agreed to it. If you didn't like it, yeah, you're welcome to quit, but like, I guess it's kind of a variation of that, like, that's what you're supposed to do thing. What do you want, a cookie? Like,
right.
You quit and got your way. Okay, good for you.
And I still feel bad for
Piper. What now?
I feel bad for Piper Niven and Nikki A.S.H. for being robbed of that main event status.
Absolutely.
One thing, I'm not going to say his name, but Swerve Strickland, you know, he put out a thing talking about Sasha and Naomi in support of them with, it was just three raised fists. And I'm not going to name the guy, but this stupid internet writer said that of course it's about race with those people. That's why they weren't fired or whatever. And like, fuck Yikes. Off, dude. Of course, if he's gonna support them because they're black, of course solidarity is important, especially in an industry that historically does not respect or treat African American athletes well. So of course solidarity is important. And for you to make that implication, you're a fucking prick, man.
Also, it's just an emoji, man. Like, what? You know, Swerve probably has him set to that anyway. What, does he go in and intentionally send it back to yellow ones just to make you feel better about yourself? Like,
I'm not even yellow. I'm white. So,
I just, you know? Come on.
All right, so here's what we're going to do is we're going to leave it at that. We're going to wait for more of this to come out. We'll definitely pick up on it next week as we learn more about it. But right now, the future for Sasha Banks and Naomi is up in the air in WWE for sure. We'll see what happens. I think in the next couple days when they announce what they're going to do with the titles, it's all going to be very telling. So we'll keep you updated on that. In other news, really quick, we have an update. We have a sad update on Tammy Sitch, the former Sonny, who was arrested for DUI and basically killing
a gentleman. What would a happy update look like at this point? What would be a happy update for this story? She goes to jail forever? Is that as good as it gets?
It turns out it was all a huge mistake. She was actually on her way to Bible camp, and she just
the communion wine spilled all over her in the accident. She wasn't actually drunk.
No, she wasn't drunk. She was just speaking in tongues. That's why they couldn't understand her slurred speech. The update is her bail was revoked. She is in custody.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's not, I think my favorite part of that is, you know, you revoke bail for a variety of reasons. many times it's flight risk. You know, right. We don't want you to be able to bail out because we don't want you to flee the country and then we can't prosecute you. But another common one is, no, you're a danger to the community around you.
Yep.
Like if we revoke your bail, there's a distinct possibility you will, you know, kill again or do whatever it is that you've done again. And in this case, I think that former is pretty accurate. They just don't want her driving a car.
Yeah. They
like, even if they remand her license or anything like that, if she gets bail, you know, a license does not restrict you from driving a car. It just restricts you from getting, you know, away with it if you get caught.
Clearly, because that's what she did here. Her license was revoked, and she killed a guy in a car. So, yeah, the judge specifically said that she was a danger, and she was a danger to the community, and took her away, put her back in jail. I don't have it here, but somebody was talking about, you know, at what point is enough, and they actually listed all of her arrests. I think she's been arrested 18 times in the past, like, 5 or 6 years. A lot of those are for DUI. Yeah, like, at what point do you stop giving people second chances? I mean, it's really sad. Someone had to die for it. So, again, I hope the Usos are paying attention.
We talked about that last week, and I'm not going to get in depth with it, but I have to imagine somebody somewhere is sitting down, and it's Jimmy, right? It's Jimmy who keeps getting arrested for DUI.
I'm gonna look it up. Yeah.
Whose wife is
Naomi?
Right. Somebody in that family has got, if not all of them, have got to, like, if not an actual intervention, just sit down with this guy and go, look, do you see the way all of this is happening? Do you see what we're doing right now? You can bring all this down. You can screw up a ton of this for most of us by doing this shit again.
Yeah.
It should never have happened in the first place, and that should not be the primary motivation. But I'm starting to wonder if that might be the only thing that gets through to him. Because he seems to keep doing it. You know, getting arrested is not a problem. Getting publicly shamed about it is not a problem. Maybe taking away some of his success would be enough to make him go, oh, now, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't do that anymore.
That was their big belief when he got arrested the last time, was, okay, well, what's going to happen to him now? Well, it turns out they gave him the tag titles and made him the biggest stars on fucking SmackDown along with Roman Reigns. That was his punishment, was to be promoted. So, yeah, you're sending a great message. And then their argument was, what he does in his spare time is his business, not ours. Well, sort of. You buried fucking Rob Van Dam when he was the champion. You buried him because he got pulled over for weed. So you tell me. Lost both of his titles and was gone not too far after that. So, yeah, you tell me. All right.
Yeah, but then again, then he got to go do all that crazy shit he does on Impact now. So who's the real loser?
Oh, my God. Two things that I'll always...
You forgot about the video, didn't you, you bitch?
I said two things I'll always remember about wrestling is RVD's music and Impact, that... Robert Durham! And the time, I don't remember her name, his girlfriend, when he was beating the guy up, and she comes out and twerks next to him while he's beating him up. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in professional wrestling.
Oh, the only time that I told my wife, like, I got to show you this video, understand what you're getting into here, and you will appreciate why this is funny.
I have to show you this video of this girl twerking on wrestling. She probably looked at you and went, say, what now? No,
just bear with me.
Hear me out.
Well, I had to explain to her the Angel Grapefruit Technique video before we showed that. So, I mean, you know.
Next, you're going to show her that parody of the Ninja Turtles I won't name. Good. And we'll see where it goes.
Oh, the SNL one where they're old guys?
Yeah. Anyway. That's the one.
That's the one.
Hey, speaking of which, just really quick, as to bring us back to a happy place, did you see that Baby Yoda made an appearance on SNL last week?
God, why is that a happy place? It's not. Yeah, I did, and I shit you not, we were watching it on Hulu, and I heard them say, here to with whatever is Baby Yoda, and I went, nope,
clip.
And I just fast-forwarded until he was gone from the screen.
Worst fucking thing on TV. All right, last story, and we're going to get out of here. The last story is just something I wanted to mention real quick, and it is the sad decline of Ric Flair. I mean, it's already sad, but it's getting sadder by the day. So Ric Flair is 73 years old. He has a pacemaker. Yes. He's almost died a few times. His body is probably garbage. Well, Ric Flair, at 73, after his big fall from grace, thanks to the Dark Side of the Ring episode about the plane ride from hell and him helicopter spinning and borderline, you know, sexually assaulting a stewardess, flight attendant.
Yes.
Well, you thought, well, Ric Flair's career is over, right? He had the thing going with AEW. He was going to come in with Andrade, and well, then that all got kiboshed.
Probably lure Charlotte over there eventually.
Yeah. But that's gone. That's over with. Deal was off. Flair has embarrassed himself. That's it for him. Or is it? Because Sean Flair. I looked over at a thing that said Shawn Michaels. I'm sorry.
Sean Flair.
Ric Flair is making his wrestling return for one final match. Wink. And, you know, this is a guy that's wrestled
this year at
WrestleMania. He's been, you know, in Charlotte. Yeah. He's a hero. This guy has main evented Starrcade and all these things. He will be wrestling at the Nashville Fairgrounds as as part of StarCast, which is a thing. 73-year-old Ric Flair will be wrestling. And the original rumor was that he was going to team up with FTR to take on Ricky Steamboat and I think the Rock and Roll Express, if I remember correctly.
Sounds about right.
Sounds like a straight up fairground match. Ric Flair and FTR versus Ricky Steamboat and the Rock and Roll Express. I think a combined age of over 9,000 for my Dragon Ball fans. Well, it just turns out that Ricky Steamboat was talking to Fightful and he said, yeah, that ain't going to happen. He says, I respect the guy, but no.
You know why? It's exactly what Cody said in our group chat. Ricky Steamboat doesn't want to be in the ring when Ric Flair dies right in front of him.
Right.
In the wrestling ring. He doesn't want to be in responsible for that in any way.
Ricky Steamboat, who's 69, nice, did not want to wrestle 73-year-old.
The Rooster. No, that was Terry.
That was Terry Taylor, yeah.
He
doesn't want to wrestle 73-year-old Ric Flair in what will be Ric Flair's last match one way or the other.
Yeah, I think it was Asa who posted just a picture of Randy the Ram Robinson from The Wrestler.
And what was your response to that?
I said, don't threaten me with a good time. Look, I don't want to start wishing ill on people, but Ric Flair has 100% like ruined everything about his legacy.
Yeah.
What a way to end a career, right? You had this match at WrestleMania, and I don't think I remember the details of why Vince had set up that whole, like, okay, next time you lose, you're retired thing. It was kind of stupid at the time, but it really caught on because they kept putting him in weirder and goofier matches. He's in a tables match. He's in a ladder match, but he kept winning.
It was a big
one. He kept winning against all odds.
Yeah.
And it only became clear toward the end of it what was going to happen because we got close to WrestleMania. He calls out Shawn Michaels. And the moment he called out Shawn Michaels, everybody knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
We knew from that point forward, this is what's going to happen. He's going to be the one to retire him. They still managed to put on a great match at WrestleMania. One of the most iconic WrestleMania moments. I'm sorry. I love you. The super kick. Both of them crying as Flair can't get his shoulder up for the pin. It was great.
Yeah.
And then he fucked it up.
Then he
like
went to
so
TNA.
Many more times.
Yeah.
Yeah. He fucked it up there. Like, okay, I could have been totally, you know, satisfied with the him returning as Charlotte's manager when she started wrestling more often. And that could have gone well had they not done that a million times. And again, had we not found out later about all the shit from the play Ryan from Hell, we knew it didn't go well. We didn't know the details until, you know, fairly recently.
Helicopter spin.
Constantly, more and more bad things coming out about Ric Flair. And his response to that is not,
woo!
Let me sell off a couple more Rolexes and try to pay some bills. You know, his response instead is, all right, I'm coming back,
woo!
Baby.
Like,
come on, man. Can you not? Please?
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad.
Who is this for other
Ric
than
Flair.
Ric Flair?
Ric Flair.
That's it. No and one.
What a fall from grace for Ric Flair. In fact, I'd say two of the most legendary wrestlers, especially of the 80s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, were Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair. And both, I mean, they were. Hulk Hogan was the king of WWF. Ric Flair was the king of NWA, WCW. And they both had such horrible falls from grace. Hogan, not a sexual molester, thank God, but questionable racist who... I say questionable only because it happened so many years ago, and God, I hope that he's turned it around because the shit that he said was disgusting, and he ruined his image, and more so than Hogan Knows Best did, and then his kid killed a guy, and he was telling him about the movie rights and stuff, so shitty human being. Mm. And then you have Ric Flair, who was the king of South wrestling, and then turns out he's a drunkard and a sexual harasser. And that's what we
part,
know.
I think, to me,
that's what
right.
We know.
The saddest part about that is that it now, when you look back on, because the greatest thing about Ric Flair was that he had that bravado, he had that
the
arrogance.
Swagger. The Ric Flair,
the
drip.
Limousine riding, Learjet flying, you know, that whole deal. Like it was a gimmick. we were all into it because it was a gimmick, and yeah, we lived part of it because he was a party boy, whatever. But the saddest part now is when you look back on that with the knowledge that we have of it now, it feels like a smokescreen.
Yeah.
It feels like an intentional way of hiding that, oh, guess what? I'm actually like this.
I'm actually
awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, behind the scenes. And you won't ever know it because you think it's just, I'm just living the gimmick, bro.
Yeah,
just
brother.
That's gotta live the gimmick.
Brother,
I gotta put it out in the world that way. That makes me real sad because it makes you start looking. I don't think he probably realizes that for a person like me, I now start looking at other people who kind of lived the gimmick and wonder, like, how far was that going? You know, yeah. Triple H was obsessed with this guy. He modeled his career after him, and there was so much of Evolution and of DX that kind of pulled in elements of Ric Flair. What if we find out some really terrible shit about Triple H one day?
Because he
was kind of doing the same thing and using that as a way to hide. I would like to hope not either, yeah. But here we are. You know?
Here we are, finding things out about our heroes all the time. Ric Flair, and with all that aside, Ric Flair at 73 years old, wrestling one more time. He's the 60-year-old guy in the 25-year-old club back there. He's Frank. He's Frank doing the move, and it's always sunny.
Nobody wants to see a 73-year-old man wrestle, Frank, or eat garbage.
It's sad. Like, it's just sad. You're not going to rebuild your legacy by having one more match. No. You're just making it worse. It's sad. Sad.
You know what's probably the worst part about it is take away all that other stuff, right? Take away, and I'm not discounting it, but let's put it aside just for a brief second for a hypothetical. If Flair was just an older guy who hadn't wrestled in a while, who had already been retired, Terry Funk has been doing this for years already, right?
Mm.
Even Terry Funk never managed to fuck up his legacy. Like, yeah, he got, like, older and slower in the ring and stuff, but he still managed to do kind of what he was doing because what he did was garbage wrestling for the most part, right? He was doing a lot of stuff that was just the hardcore deathmatch stuff. That's not what Flair was known for. He was known for being a great worker.
He's a technical prowess guy.
You just, at Ric Flair's age and in the condition that he's in, you can't do that shit anymore, man.
Right.
You just can't.
It's a gimmick. It's going to be a gimmick
match.
This is
the one that, right, it's going to have to be if you're going to even make him look halfway decent and keep him alive before the match ends. And again, the guy's got a pacemaker.
Right.
Like, none of this is a good idea, even setting aside all of the baggage that comes along with using Ric Flair in 2022 in a match at a promotion.
There's
no good outcome to this. You're going to get a couple of idiots who are going to go, yes, this is the greatest thing ever because Ric Flair should never have been canceled and he's the greatest wrestler of all time and
they're
going to pay every dime they've got to go see him. Yeah. He's going to do the flop, brother.
Woo!
But at what cost?
Yeah.
Like, at what cost do you get this? What if he really, I mean, all right, let's just put it out there. What if he really dies in the ring? You really want to be the promotion where Ric Flair died in the ring?
That reminds me, there's a guy, I forget his name, but he has actually got a hold of the commission in that state and wrote them a letter saying...
I saw that.
Yeah, he's trying to block Flair from wrestling by saying the people that pay the insurance for these wrestlers should not insure Ric Flair to wrestle. He's 73 years old, and he's right. He's right.
Yes.
I think everyone thinks that it's always the George Foreman story. It's always, well, remember, big George Foreman was old when he won the title. It's that classic older guy. Do you know how old George Foreman was when he won that title?
Not that old.
In my head, I always think, he was like 55, close to 60. He was 45. Yeah. He was 40 fucking 5, man. He was the oldest heavyweight champion in history at 45. 45 is not old. It's
30 years younger than Ric Flair is right now.
It's
almost.
Yeah, and everyone always goes, well, Foreman did it. He did it at 45, man. Ric Flair wasn't even 45 when Nitro went off the air, I don't think. He was already close to 50. Like, my God.
I get it. Like, you know, Flair's not actually, you know, quote-unquote fighting. He doesn't have to go out and, like, fight for his life. But he does have
but
to
he will
get
be.
Gassed up 30 seconds into the match, right?
Yeah. He will be fighting for his life.
Got it.
Yeah.
He really will.
He will be fighting for his life.
I can't say any better than that. I'm going to leave it there.
We're going to leave it there.
It's not going to get any better.
We're going to cut it off there. All right. We're going to, because we got about 8 days left to get that Godzilla emblem, so we need to jump on it. That is going to do it. Oh, my God. Oh, what a depressing.
Oh, my God.
Why did we bring PW back? Why did we do this to ourselves?
For this, we have to get it out here and put it out into the world so we don't have to deal with it.
All right, that's going to do it for us tonight on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. We'll be back tomorrow with an all-new episode of After Dark. I already told Lindsay to start thinking of a topic right now. So
she will have it at 7:30 tomorrow.
7:41. Until then, for myself and for Double H and for all of the... That's it. Never mind. That's it. That's the show. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Hunter, take us out.
Woo! Later.